Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
It's time to change your habits and start living a healthy, happy, and fulfilling life. Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. Boundaries are an essential part of our overall health and wellness, but most of us face challenges in setting and adhering to our own boundaries. Setting boundaries involves making people aware of your physical, emotional, and psychological limits, and following through with consequences when they aren't respected. It does sound scary, but whether you're in recovery or looking to improve your overall quality of life, knowing how to set boundaries is one of the most valuable skills that you can have. Today, I'm joined in the studio with Peter Bedard, who is an incredible man who knows a lot about boundaries. He does a lot of work with people that have experienced pain and that are changing their lives, starting over and starting to actually take a look at what they want and what they don't want, what's healthy and what's not serving them. And so he's going to help us discuss what tips and tools we can, you know, kind of talk about today and how to set boundaries in our lives. Peter, welcome to the show and so happy to have you with us to talk about this.
Hey, Erica, glad to be here.
Yes, you're an author, you're a hypnotherapist, you have coached people through many challenges. How has boundaries come into play in your work?
Boundaries are everything.
Yeah.
Seriously, because most of the time the pain that we experience comes in because we violated a boundary, whether it was a personal boundary or a boundary between you and or ourselves and someone else.
Right. And don't you think that when we have healthy boundaries, we are able to protect ourselves against exploitation by others? We could read cues that someone is being abusive or selfish. We can learn how to, you know, teach people how to treat us. And I think, though, with trauma and substance abuse, which is you and I both work with people that are going through these experiences, that trauma and substance abuse can result in unhealthy boundaries because obviously your body and your emotions were violated by trauma and you may not know how to have good boundaries. And then with substance abuse, you've lost your boundaries with the substances. You use too much, you act in ways you normally would not. I think people feel a lot of shame around this.
They do. And shame is one of the primary sources for violating boundaries. When we feel shame, we will do so many things in order to either upset a boundary that we feel is unjust or to actually walk over somebody else's because we're angry.
Yeah. And also I think we want to please, like we want, you know, I know for myself, I was a big people pleaser and I wanted everyone to be happy. So I taught them, oh, hey, it's okay to do this to me. Or sure. Do you want me to go do an errand for you? Yes, 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 yes. I never said no. And I think that taught people that I could be, at that point in my life when I wasn't, you know, living in the best way, that I could be taken advantage of in some way, whether that's emotionally, right?
Yeah. We teach people how to treat us. And that's an interesting thing because most of the time when people are in high amounts of pain and especially addiction-related pain, the last thing that they're willing to do or want to do is take absolute responsibility for themselves. And when we do that, it's a beautiful thing because then we step back into the captain's seat. We step back to being in charge of our life and sitting on the throne of our heart where we now start to rule our lives through the love and the passion instead of the pain and the fear. And so having a good, healthy boundary often means, like you said, saying no.
Yeah.
Having a good, healthy boundary can often also mean saying yes to something bigger, something that is frightening to us, something that would expand our previous limitation boundaries and expand that container I often talk about so that we could accommodate something even more. A lot of times we put boundaries on ourselves and boundaries in a negative way. So we don't have personal boundaries between ourselves and other people, but we have limiting boundaries for who we are and how we can be in the world.
Yeah, I love that. And I like what you said. I just saw this little quote that said, it's okay to be scared because being scared means you're about to do something really, really brave, you know, and that's, you know, it reminds me of that is that if you're scared, if people are listening out, they're scared to set a boundary or to speak your truth or to say to somebody, you know, when you shame me, I will hang up the phone, or when you use that tone, or when you, you know, I tell clients to set a boundary, to verbally set a boundary. That's kind of like the recipe or the equation is when you whatever the behavior is that's bothering you, whether when you shame me, when you yell at me, when you belittle me, I will, and there has to be a consequence. I will hang up the phone. I will walk out of the room. I won't be in your life. But I think that setting of a consequence, scares people.
Yeah. And with boundaries, because of setting that consequence, you have to be willing to lose. And I think that's the hardest part in setting boundaries, especially new boundaries with sobriety. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to lose love, and you have to be willing to lose a relationship.
Absolutely.
And that's the most scary thing for people, because we already often feel unloved and alone. And to be willing to lose what little love that we think we have and companionship that we think we have is often unbearable. I know people that stay in very abusive situations because they're afraid to lose something. And that, it just means that you're being controlled by your fear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how do we quiet that fear? Do we do what we talked about earlier on in the show, which is to love our fear?
Absolutely.
To love. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one way. That's certainly one way. And to recognize that fear is one of those false emotions, like anger. Fear is something I call, there's two types of fear. I say there's fear 1.0 and 2.0. And fear 1.0 is real, true fear. It's somebody standing in front of you pointing a gun at your head. That's real, true fear, right? Mm-hmm. Fear 2.0 is the fear of fear. And as Americans, most of us really live our lives in that experience of the fear of fear.
Absolutely.
And we don't even realize we're doing it. Somebody will say, hey, have you ever been over to a certain part of town, let's say? And the person they're talking to says, no, oh my God, I would never go there. And the person that asked the question initially says, well, why wouldn't you go there? And they say, because it's dangerous. And then the next question is, well, have you ever been there? And they say, no.
Exactly.
So it's this fear of fear that we let control us. Fear of others, fear of outsiders, fear of being hurt. Whatever it is, it's a manufactured, constructed, false experience. Now, it may be based on life truths, but it doesn't mean it is true.
Right.
And so that's where we have to be really, really careful with things, because, you know, some people can rationalize anything from racism to drug abuse. Well, it's true. Well, it's true in that older experience. Is it true now, and does it have to be true in your future?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, and then we generalize those experiences and apply them to everybody around us. So, and that's just the way of fear, of protectionism.
Right, exactly.
And so one of the ways to get through that is to start listening to the actual message of fear. And fear is very much like that message of pain. It's a part, and fear is a pain. It really is. When people start to understand that, there's a big difference, because fear is a pain. And it creates a pain in the heart and alienation and separation. And so when we actually embrace that and we start, okay, well, what is this thing that is asking me to pay attention to, that the fear is really asking me to get in and look underneath that fear and really embrace it and start to say, what is this, where is it, and where is it coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you work through fear.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that people fear in different ways in life. Sometimes people are fearless, you know, in ways where they, you know, emotionally can handle a lot of things, but physically have a lot of fears, like flying or something like that. So fear really does have, an array of ways that it works in our lives. Peter, I really appreciate this really important discussion on boundaries, and thank you for shedding some light to this. Where can people find you?
They can go to convergencehealing.com. They can find me with Convergence Healing as the tag on Instagram, Pinterest, as well as Facebook. And they can find my book, Convergence Healing, Healing Pain with Energetic Love, at Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, Amazon, and anywhere fine quality books are sold.
I love it. Thank you so much, Peter. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thanks so much for joining us, and stay well.